Blog Talk Hola, Radio.
I never hear anything for like 2 seconds, and then the music starts.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
I'm ready for that one.
So, sure. We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
You heard the man. This is Uncensored Radio. We are unstoppable. We are original, and we are your guiltiest pleasure. Man, hello, everybody. I am one of your hosts, Karen Ashley, along with the fabuloso, I said fabuloso, Jeffrey Emmett. Jeffrey,
¿cómo está, ma?
Muy bien, gracias. And we also have the dynamic... Jamesy, you guys know him as Mr. Lips. Hello, Mr.
Well,
Lips.
What? What's up, people? We also have the fabulous Miss Poya on the line with us.
Ooh, hello, darling.
The fun has
hello, darling. Hello, darling. Would you like to come over later and watch a documentary?
I'll have to check my schedule.
Your schedule. Well, if you didn't check your schedule, we had Ricky Lake on yesterday, and it was a fabulous interview. Yes, it was captivating. It was fabulous. It was all of that, and then, and even more. Like, it was just amazing. So if you haven't listened to it, you have to go and listen on demand. You can listen to it anytime. You can go to My Uncensored Radio. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to iTunes. You can go wherever you want and find us and listen to this dynamic interview. Don't you
it
agree?
It was kind of fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I learned things about Ricky. I mean, she's actually really, really, she seemed like a really chill personality. Like, she just, like, she laughed. She was, like, you know, it was, like, she's just kind of a chill person. Seemed very polite and just, you know, there was a couple times I kind of, I giggled because she's, like, I'm not trying to offend anyone, and I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. It's just my opinion. But she's very outspoken, you know, but I like that about a person because, you know, some people who are passionate about stuff, they, you know, they're just, like, my way or the freeway. She's not like that at all. She's very, she just seems very, very cool, like, girl, I'd like to hear.
My favorite part had to have been when she was trashing the EP a little bit, just a little bit. It
Why?
Was kind of fabulous. Just because, like, how she was so unhappy, and she's like, you know, I was probably the only one, but I did a little celebratory party when the show got canceled. Like, it was just kind of funny. But, I mean, I understand that. Like, when you put your name on something, and it is kind of hysterical, and I don't think people realize that when you do have your own show, just because your name's on it doesn't mean you're in control, and it sucks.
No. 9 out of 10, you're not in control at all.
Unless you're on Uncensored Radio, and then you run the show.
Exactly. Because here, there's no rules.
Not even then, almost. I mean, you know, if you're a host on the show, you're under the UCR umbrella, and, yeah, you are the name on the show, but you're not necessarily controlling it. So it can doesn't matter. It can be anything.
That's very true. It's very, very true.
That's right.
But
people got to deal
right,
with my crazy ass.
Right. So those of you who don't know what an EP is, it's an executive producer. And, you know, she did dish, and she did, like, kind of give us some scoop. Yeah, it was unexpected. Like, that was kind of one of my favorite moments also. And one of my things that I liked about her is that she seems really deep. Like, she's like, you know, I don't want to do these fluffy shows. I want to do, like, more in-depth. She wanted to get deeper and dirtier, and they wanted to do it like a 5-minute segment. She just didn't feel like that was the fit. So it's always interesting to get behind the scenes or, you know, really find out what's happened. You know, it's like one of those things. But it was good.
Right.
It was good. Good interview. Good interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so
if you missed it, definitely go to the website and check it out. It's good stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And she's one of many. We're going to be having a lot of great people on here. And, you know, it's funny because I think when they come on, they kind of get uncensored. I think it's just the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are kind of crazy. And, I mean, I do call babies bitches and things, so.
But I realized, like, you didn't let that slip once the interview started with her. You did it in the beginning when it was just
I know.
But when she joined, like, Jeffrey got on his best behavior. He was very professional.
Yeah. It was very, very hard for me not to drop an F-bomb, knowing she did, you know.
Yeah. And what was so funny is I could hear the nervousness in Mike Gay's voice. Like, if you don't know the story, like, Mike Gay is probably the biggest Ricky Lake fan ever. Like, that's why we got the interview, was because he had started a website for her years ago. It was so amazing. He was in Entertainment Weekly. Was it Entertainment Weekly?
Yes.
He was featured for doing that. And this is just someone who's a fan. And he just made this amazing website, got, like, national press for it. And so she, you know, got in touch with him and wanted to buy that domain. And he was like, yeah, of course. And could you do me a favor and come on our show? And she was like, absolutely. So that's kind of like a really cool behind the scenes
well,
of how that went down.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily how it went down. I'm just saying. I let Mike have his glory
well,
yesterday.
Because you told him to do that? You were like, yeah,
no, because I did that. I am the one that when he got the email. Yes, I do.
Why can't Mike just have a little song?
Because he got to interview Ricky Lake. That was his gift.
Mm.
His websites were the reason why, but I'm saying he did the correspondence after I opened the door.
Okay.
But did y'all see this? You know, we got to go on a little something because we should be on Perez Hilton right now, and we're not, and I'm pissed.
Why?
Because Perez did a whole article about Nickelodeon, All That Stars, where are they now? So, of course, you click on it. There's Katrina Johnson, and it says All That. You might remember her as a little girl who impersonated Ross Perot, but she's all grown up now. All That indeed. Katrina gave up acting after All That. For a while, she was a flight attendant and is now engaged and living in Las Vegas. This motherfucker doesn't do his homework. So I need y'all to start tweeting Perez telling him, first, Katrina is not engaged, and two, she didn't give up acting, and three, she has a fucking radio show called Uncensored Radio, you cock.
Yeah, she never gave up acting. Maybe she's not doing, like, TV show on Nickelodeon, but it's like she's still an actress. Yeah, you guys text him. He needs to get his stuff together. That's why people get mad at him, though, because I think he always leaves a little something out, or it just like, boom, like he, you know, it's like a little shade. He always throws a little shade.
Like, it says it on her Wikipedia page. Come on.
Wikipedia is not that much of a reliable source.
I'm not saying it is, but it's on there. Click on the damn website. You can see it.
It's
he is
better
an
than
asshole.
Whatever source he had. It's better than whatever source he had, because he was all
right.
Wrong. Like,
she ain't even
so
engaged.
Not the one who's engaged. Like, I don't think Katrina ever wants to be engaged in her whole life. Unless
like,
and
what kind of
a power
dick?
Writer.
He's like, oh, she was a flight attendant for a while. Like, what a dick. Like, I'm sorry.
Right.
It was just
I'm
a very
dickish. That's why people get mad at him, though, because he shoots shade in his little way, you know?
And you would think
shade.
He would totally want to be her BFF because she's beautiful and he wishes he was beautiful. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. Everyone's beautiful, Jeffrey.
Okay, girl, you got to keep that sunshine from blowing up your ass so much, girly.
Everyone's beautiful in God's way. We're all God's children, Jeffrey.
Oh, here we go. Let me start. Isn't that a song?
Uh-huh. Well, it's going to be. I'm a coin.
No,
magic.
Like.
That's LaToya's next
all
tape.
All the little children all around.
Oh, sorry, LaToya.
I'm trying to remember
the
songs from Catholic school.
I almost tried to rip somebody else's song to give to you.
I'm cool.
That's LaToya's next hit. All of God's children are beautiful. Thank you. It's like the Whitney Houston song. I believe all the children are the future.
Yeah, I'm going to rehearse tomorrow.
Why? I'm one of those people who hate songs like that. I hate, like, the Heal the World song.
Me too!
I hate positive
I hate
songs.
The world. I thought I was the only one in the whole world.
No,
it
I don't like them either.
I throw up in my mouth a little bit every time I hear, like, Hands Across America, We Are the World.
You miss me with all those kind of songs. I don't like any of them.
Like Michael Jackson, remember
problem.
The Free Willy song? That song, oh, I wanted to gouge my ears. And I'm a Michael Jackson fan, but I didn't like the Free Willy song.
Right. If you go through my iPod, Karen, you know there ain't a happy song on there. I'm like, is this talking about my life is so good, my kids are beautiful, life's so happy. I'm like, I don't want to hear this shit. Give me a good breakup song. And then Joe would get a little concerned, like, why the hell are you listening to that? Like, I think that was like old school, you know, because Miss Stephanie from the Schmooze came over. And we were listening to some old, we had the Isley Brothers. You remember that song Contagious and Busted? Busted,
yeah.
That's not that old. But I'm like listening to them, and he's looking at me like, what you trying to say? I'm like.
why are you taking everything personal? Why you got feelings? You need to tell him that next time. Store your feelings. Why
well,
have
you
feelings on everything?
But, you know, like my iPod goes like. You left me, you broke, yesterday.
Oh, my God. I found out when we were there, me and James were in Auburn, and I don't know where we were going, but we were in the car for, like, half a day. It seemed like we were just driving all over Auburn.
I think it was when we did, like, I think it was when you did Bridge Street.
Yes.
When you did that
good
show,
news.
Yeah.
Yes. But we, like, had to drive, and then we had to drive over here. It was just a bunch of driving. And Mr. Jeffrey had his R&B DVDs, because I guess he pulled them out of storage because he had R&B Diva,
well,
like myself, in the car.
We had
me and James were the R&B Divas, and so we didn't hear the R&B music.
She didn't have the little doohickey to plug in your iPad, so I had to bust out some old school CDs.
Yeah, so he busted out some old school CDs. But literally, Toya, like, it was like, my baby did me wrong. My man left me. He cheated.
Yeah.
It was like every breakup song. I was like, what were you going on? What was going on in your life?
Oh,
and
my
every
God.
Single song. Yeah, and it was like Mary J. Blige. Like, you know how she has, like, I ain't gonna cry no more. And now I'm a stronger
that
person.
That was
because
not of on there. There was none of that.
But it was those kind of songs. Like, it was like,
it was,
go from,
I had,
I'm hurt, I'm broken, and now I'm back. And then I'm hurt again, I'm broken, and I ain't crying no more. I don't give a shit what you say.
I had like,
so
it was, no, it was like Mario, Frankie J, Omarion, or however you say his name, with the icebox. My icebox, yeah. There
and
was some
was
John
like, oh,
B. That John
and then
B was on
the
there.
Where you could tell they was getting their groove on. Like, I'm gonna sex you up. And then you broke my heart after I sexed you up.
I had some Donnell Jones. Like, I was just doing it. And what's
it
the one?
Like, it was like, seriously, emotional roller coaster, Toya. Emotional roller coaster.
I probably
like,
would have just been there crying. Forget it.
I know, right?
That doesn't make me sad. Like, to me, like, it's just relaxful. I love the beat. Like, and if I find some happy, I don't know, it don't bother me. I like it. I love a good breakup song. To me, it's just more emotional.
I always say, like, you know, sad songs are more relatable than happy songs because there are more sad people than there are happy people.
Right? And it's hard.
Like,
but it is hard, though.
People are searching for happiness.
When your relationship's in a good place and you, like, find this good breakup song and you're like, I'm just going to put this in the bin for later. I'm going to put this one in the bin for later and this one, too, just in case. Go ahead, bitch. Go ahead.
You want to hear a funny thing?
Here's the thing, though. Like people, you feel the most stuff. And so if somebody is singing something that brings back that longing or that deep sad, you know, And they word it, you know, I was listening to one song the other day, a Faith Evans song. I'm talking album number 2.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened after
Ooh, girl.
I was like, listening to that. I'm like, oh, my God. That was totally my life, this guy, how I felt. And it's like you just kind of repeat it. Well, me, I put it on repeat and start trying to learn it. But it's because it spoke to me.
Okay, so what does this mean? Me and my man, we go through phases where we'll have, like, a favorite song and another favorite song. We were going through, like, all our favorite songs, and none of those songs are, like, appropriate for, like, a wedding. Like, one of them was, like,
yes.
One of them, I don't
know.
You know, like, Pleasure P? You know, like, Pleasure P, Boyfriend Number 2? Like, that's one of like, we like boyfriend number two. And I was like, we can't play boyfriend number two. And
no,
like,
you can't play that. That's so funny.
Yes, you can.
One of my exes is so funny. We realized later that all the songs we really liked were breakup songs. So I'm like, no wonder we didn't work. Like, we already were like, yeah, ooh, breakup, ooh, we like that. I mean, we were doomed.
Oh, God.
We're doomed.
Oh, yeah, but it's like boyfriend number two is not appropriate when you marry number one.
Girl, you can
do
it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, I was going to play some crazy shit in mine. Like, I was like, I don't care. I like the song, and I want to dance to it, even if it is a breakup song. I don't give a rat's ass. If you don't like it, don't dance.
Right.
But, like, here's the thing.
Get your
like,
ass down.
Just to add, my first five songs in my iPad, whatever you want to call it, just an ace is ready for this. You're gonna throw up. After all, you know the one with Sharon Peter Cetera, "Ain't Nobody" by Chaka Khan, "All I Ever Wanted" by Mace, "All I Have" by with LL Cool J and J Lo, and "All I Want to Do" by Sheryl Crow. Like, four out of the five are breakup songs. It's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I can't even say what my favorite songs are right now because I listen to music when I'm at the gym. And usually in the car, I'm talking on the phone because that's really kind of the only time I'm not distracted by, like, work or TV or just people. So it's like I don't really listen to music most of the time in the car. So the only time I listen is when I'm on the treadmill. And usually the only songs I want to listen to are, like, motive. Like, I want to hear Beyonce. Like, I want to be like, my ass needs to look like Beyonce's ass by the time I get off the treadmill. Like, that's, you know, like, I need to party. Otherwise, I'm not going to get through the run, you know?
You need that. You have to keep your energy up. You got to be upbeat. My favorite workout artist is Missy Elliott because she got something for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I don't even know what she's talking about. I'm just like, damn it, like,
right.
Pissing everybody off.
Yeah. Like, I'm partying on the treadmill. Like, I got Michael Jackson. I got Beyonce. I got Missy. I've got, like, you know, like, I got rap songs. Like, anything that's upbeat. It can't be slow. Like,
it
cannot
be
slow.
Well,
I feel like you'll start
walking slow.
Right.
Right. Sleepy.
I mean, I have two speeds. I have breakup songs, and then shit I'm going to go out and dance to or work out to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we either going to sit together and cry or we going to get ready to go to the club. Like, you pick. Those are the options. That's what I got.
That's it.
You need a few anthem songs. You need a few anthem songs.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. I got a few of them.
Something about
I listen to a little bit of everything.
The haze is off or whatever. You do.
I will say this. My Uncensored Radio family, everybody has really, other than I think Mike J, everybody has really wide taste in music. Because Mike, I already know he got some old weird music. But, like, everybody
he got some
else
Dolly
will
Parton.
Listen to everything. Yeah, like, I know James listens to all kinds of music. I know Jeffrey does.
Yep.
Like, there's really no, like, there's no set. Like, obviously, I love R&B, but I listen to pop. I listen to rock. I listen to gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll listen to anything with a good beat or that just kind of means something. But Mike is the only one, I think, that is like country and western or something.
Well, he's into a little, he likes, like, poppy and, like, country and then, like, I always remember, like, he was always the ones that kind of found, like, those weird, like, I guess they weren't weird, but they were, like, the British groups that only lasted for, like, a CD. Or maybe they're still kicking over there. I don't know. Like, you remember, like,
band,
no, it was
them.
The girl bands. Like, Bewitched, like, there was some song about a roller coaster or something. I can't remember.
Yes.
And, like, he was big into, like, Spice Girls and some other chick.
I was a huge
Her name was Billy.
He wants to be a Spice Girl. That's why.
Honey, I tell you what though, we were getting down when the Spice Girls came out. Okay,
oh,
like I don't even care.
I wanted to be scary. I'm just saying, Mike wanted to be a Spice Girl. That's why he likes them.
And I got him in. He did a little bit of like, do you remember Wheatus or SR71? It was kind of like that punky kind of whatever, and Sum 81 and all them. Like I got him into some of that, like. I loved Wheatus, like Teenage Dirtbag. I was like, yeah, it was ridiculous.
We used to play the game, like, if you were a Spice Girl, which Spice Girl would you be?
We always did Spice Girls in drag. We always did Spice Girls in drag.
Who
and
were
sometimes
you?
We were switched.
Who were you?
The first time they made me be sporty, and I'm like, I'm the biggest one here.
Sporty?
Why the hell am I sporty?
You're the girliest one of them all. How are you sporty? No,
well, compared to the other ones, I probably really was the butchest.
Okay, because I was going to say sporty, I thought, until she had a baby, I really thought sporty, like she got married and had a baby, didn't she, recently? I thought sporty was a lesbian. Like, sporty's a lesbian. And she's girl power, like, it makes sense. And she's not, like, she's, like, married, loves, or
that
maybe, I don't know.
She's not a lesbian.
That's true. That's true. That just means she just decided to go traditional.
Right, she might have just wanted to, some kids and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, because I know a lot of married people that aren't heterosexual.
Right.
They pretend to be in heterosexual relationships. Yeah.
We all know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people. And to me, I'm like, just do you. Like, what are you doing? Like, who are you pleasing? Who are you proving this to? Like, can you come out already? Just make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh. That bothers me.
I know.
It bothers me. They're not true to themselves.
Yeah, but we all know there's a very small percentage of people who actually don't give a just. I don't care what people think. I'm going to live my life. Like we're like that because we're artistic.
I'm like that.
People,
yeah.
But most people are the exact opposite, which is why there's so many people
still
married who hate each other. Well, what would people say? I mean, we're going through a divorce.
You're getting way too much of a kick out of that, Jeff. You're getting way too much of a kick out of that.
It's true.
It's funny. No, because look, it's not just like I know so many people that are so miserable in the relationship.
They hate each other, but heaven forbid the neighbors should know that they're unhappy and getting a divorce. Heaven forbid. Oh, my God.
Right.
Like,
oh, no.
The world.
Life's too
honey,
short,
we all
man.
Know.
I got to be happy. Like, I feel like it takes more effort to be unhappy. Like, life is too short. Like, I really, truly feel like, man, I got to live it up. I got to do it.
That's what I call them, Jeff. I might as well marriages. Like, they don't want to. But
I had a family member, and I'm not going to say who it is, but they told me, like, I was like, you know, they were getting married and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, I was like, oh, when's the wedding and blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, we went to the courthouse and got married. And I go, oh, really? Oh, my gosh, so romantic. Oh, that's great, whatever, whatever. And then this person was like, well, I need an insurance. So we went ahead and did it.
Might as well, because I need this insurance.
I smacked them. Don't you ever say that out loud again. I smacked them so hard. I was like, don't you ever say that out loud.
I know someone. I know someone who got married solely for the fact that the husband might not have made it through surgery, and she wanted to get his military benefits.
If he was
to pass on.
See?
And now she's stuck with him.
Wow.
And now she's stuck with him, and she is absolutely miserable.
Oh, my God. One of my girlfriends is telling me about a guy that is married to a girl simply because the girl was one of his best friends, and she was diagnosed with cancer, and she went to him crying and wanted to get married, and he did it, and she's totally in remission. Everything's great. And
that's a great reason for, like, a divorce. Like, that's like, okay, I was a friend. I did my good deed. I got to get out. I got to go.
You
like,
don't
know
it.
Out.
You don't
got
just marry
pass.
A person because they have an illness. That's not enough.
What?
It can go away.
If I wasn't getting married, I probably, like, if somebody came to me and they had, like, they're on their death, probably would be that person who'd marry them because I'd feel so sad for them. But if they were
you need to make sure.
I'd go into
you
need annulment.
it's under false pretenses. I only married you because you were only supposed to be around until Christmas. Now we talking about the spring, baby. That's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
I might as well, because he'll be dead in a minute. See? I might as well.
I think that's probably a good way to get someone to marry you. That's probably a good way to trap a man.
It's not bad. But when when they like, but at some point he's gonna be like, hey, I thought this was like 6 months.
What kills me though are those women or men, but those women who trap the other person with a child. And I'm like, a child
it never
works. That is
it
work. Like,
hello,
why would you
Kim
bring in
and Kanye.
Now, with this
no,
kid
I think,
that looks
I think he wants
up,
to be there.
I think they did that on purpose.
I think he finally got Kim and was like, girl, I want you to have my baby. And she was like,
yep.
I sure will. Because she's worth $50 million. He's worth like $100 million.
I might as
and
well.
And they're both gay.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Like,
and they're both
white.
Might as well.
He's gone through the whole roster.
But see, I don't consider that kind of situation crap because I think they both decided to have a kid. I'm talking to these women who are like, I'm going to get this dude. I don't know what else to do. But so I'm just going to pretend I'm on the pill and get pregnant. Those women are the ones. It never works. He might be there temporarily, but he is not going to stay. It never works.
I have a very close friend, and Toya knows this person. We ain't going to mention her name. But she was going through a breakup, and he was just a no good. He just was no good. Like, he just wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a good person for her. And unfortunately, she was in love, and she was young, and she was dumb. We've all been there. And she got pregnant. And I was like, and I asked her one day, I said, did you do that to trap him? And then when he wasn't there for her, she was devastated. She was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, like, I had a very blunt conversation because I'm that friend who I'm going to love on you when you're hurting, but I'm also going to be blunt with you. I'm not going to sit there and feed into your lies. I'm going to go, he wasn't good for you before you had a baby. What made you think that having this baby that he was going to be good to you?
Because something
you.
Chemical happens in a woman's brain, I think, where they think that, I know, let me bring a whole human into this. Oh, my God, he'll totally stay there. Like, there's
and
no
he
kind of
fell
in
love.
I don't even
fell
think...
in love with the baby, but didn't fall in love with her. He did fall
in love
with that
I don't even
that
think
baby,
that that's just women. I think men
I think
do
men,
it, too.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Just, it's a little harder to try to get a woman pregnant accidentally, you know, you have to hide her birth control or whatever. But the sad thing is, like, these people are so pathetic. It's really hard for me to feel bad for them because you're that desperate to have somebody love you, you dumb son of a bitch. Like, go take a course and learn to love yourself. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, you thought bringing a baby into the world was going to...
He just goes, like, all the way left.
I've had so many friends that, you know, they're in horrible relationships, or my cousin, you know, that'll beg a girl on his hands and knees, like, fool, this bitch has been cheating on you for the last year. I told you she was cheating on you. She said she was cheating on you. And you begging her to stay because you're too afraid to be alone? Get up and stop begging. You look like a damn fool. You bringing shame to this family.
I agree, though. I mean, I'm not as rough as you are. I'm very, like I said, I'll love on you when you're down, but I'm going to keep it real. Like, I had a conversation with someone very close to me recently, and I said, because this person, she already knows this person is cheating. Like, it isn't a suspect. It's like one of those things where how many more clues are you going to get that this person's cheating? They're cheating. It's just now you got to accept it. Now you got to accept the fact that this person's cheating. So in the lack of accepting the fact that this person's cheating, some girl, like followed her, and it was, like, this whole thing, right? And this girl made it known. Like, she made her presence known that she was following her, and I'm watching you, and try to kind of intimidate this girl. And I said, okay, this is the thing. First of all, you need to leave him alone because now he's endangering your life. Because normal people don't follow you and make their presence known so that you can get intimidated. Like, that person sounds like the person on Snap that's going to just out of nowhere snap. I said, secondly, how many more clues do you need? And then this person said, well, what if this person's a stalker? And I go, you know what? Maybe this person is, but most people are of right mind. There's very few people that are stalker. He's not a celebrity, so he's not going to get some stalker just randomly stalking him. He ain't got it like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like he's a celebrity and this person is delusional. I said, the only time women really act a plum nut is when a man has pushed them to crazy. And this man has pushed her to crazy. And then I told her, I said,
What was that girl's name in that trial that they did a Lifetime movie on her recently? You know, the Jodi
Arias.
Yes.
I have to say, and I don't know if this is true. I don't know, but I saw, like, the Lifetime movie of it. And I have to say, Lifetime did a really good job of not painting her as just the out-and-out crazy person and not painting him as the out-and-out victim. They kind of showed where
it was hand
in hand. There were times when he was leading her on and she...
Yeah.
She reacted and she went all the way left. And what I realized, I was like, you know what, there's always that line. And people, you know, he was doing what was convenient for him, and he was playing with her emotions. I'm not saying the man deserved to get
stabbed. He used her up and spit her out. No, right. So that's the thing. You don't go and stab somebody.
Right.
But when
you don't go stab them and kill them and ruin your life. But I get how you cannot play with these people. You can't play with people like that. And you don't want them killed. You don't know what that person is.
When there's signs that the person is not really balanced to begin with. Like,
and
now you just play it with gasoline in a match.
You know how many dudes I've talked to, I'm not saying all of them, but I've talked to many dudes who told me, man, you know, that's just that passion, man. You know, I'd be like, man, she cut my ties because she loved me. And I'm like, that sounds stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think you're right.
Go and cut tires. It's crazy.
You have
something. I think people like the attention, even if it's negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, she's
yep.
doing
absolutely.
That.
It's almost like a notch in your belt. It's like,
I put that older. I put
crazy
it older,
about
man.
My favorite, though, is when they're like that, and, like, he's cheating on her. He's flipping out on her because he thinks she's cheating. Meanwhile, she's cheating on him, but she's pissed. He's cheating. Like, they both cheating on each other, and they both angry as shit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
MTV did a whole documentary on that.
Yeah.
MTV did a whole documentary on that.
Like,
true life, I'm cheating.
It's not even that a man made a woman crazy. Like, I just feel like this. I've said it so many times on the show. We need to have a self-esteem course in school. Like, we need to teach these kids how to have some self-esteem, because it's really not about a man making you crazy. It's about the fact that you have no self-worth. And it's the same thing for a man. Like, they have no self-worth, and that's why they're in these relationships. It's not because somebody else is doing something to them. It's because they don't believe in themselves. They have no confidence.
Right.
And you know, it's really sad. And what does that say about us as a society, that there is so many people that are so codependent?
Well, you know what it is? We have in schools, like, I think there's usually, like, at least two or three counselors, but those counselors don't counsel. They don't counsel. So
I don't remember learning anything from my counselor in school. I didn't learn anything.
I didn't have one.
I would go to my counselor and ask her, can she change my class? Like, I'd be like, can you take me out of math first period and put me in math this period?
Right. Do you know about scholarship?
That's what we talked about. and then they really didn't give you all the info. Like, you still had to research it yourself. And so my thought is, if you're going to have a counselor, why don't you actually hire a medical counselor, and you have to go to your session? Like, everybody should be, it should be mandatory. But even though, I think if you sat in the room and you had to talk for 30 minutes, you might have a kid that actually used it and opened up and actually said, you know, this is going on at home or whatever. Like, what else are they doing? My counselor used to just sit and eat in her office all the time. She had she'd be eating, like, barbecue baked potatoes every day. She was just in there gossiping. Like, seriously. She did nothing. Yeah, like, wouldn't give us none, but she'd be in there eating.
Okay.
She wouldn't even pick you up any if you bought it.
In Catholic school, we didn't have no counselors. But I went to a real counselor, supposedly. And this chick kind of looked like a hippie, and I'm pretty sure she was a lesbianago. And I think I taught her more at 16 than she taught me. It was the most it was a horrible experience. Like, I'm like, I thought she was supposed to help me.
I don't think that's the whole
thing. She sent me to the bigwig doctor the psychologist or whatever that could write the prescription in this fool.
You are real crazy,
like,
huh?
No, he asked me 4 questions and put me on Zoloft. I took that shit for 4 weeks, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't need Zoloft, you fool. Like, I just needed you to tell me it's okay to say no to people.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Like, I was just, you know, like, like, they're all
but
trying to, like,
there,
go to.
How did you get there? You got there, obviously, because.
Well, because
like,
I kept telling my mother. No, I kept telling my mother, like, I want to go to counseling. I want to go to counseling. I want to go to counseling. Well, too, Mike was going to counseling, so I'm like, I want to go to counseling. Because like, when I was a kid, I could not stand up. I was so, you know, the little good boy. I couldn't tell people no, so somebody asked me to babysit or asked me to come help them do shit or whatever, or, you know, somebody called because they needed advice, and I could never say no to anybody. And it got to a point in my life where I felt like I had no control because I was constantly helping other people in one way or another, and it got to a point where I hated it, and I couldn't ever not – I just wouldn't take time to do something for me or something I wanted to do. Like, I was just mm-hmm. – I had no balls. And then, you know, like, after a while I found it and I went to the far extreme. And now I'm going regressing backwards. So it's very interesting, especially when you go to a counselor who doesn't really have much to say. You know, it's kind of a problem. So I think you have to just be diligent. And maybe we need to get actually psychologists in the schools and, you know, that have maybe a little more background that could help children versus these people that are just snacking on their barbecue potato chips, collecting their $40,000 a year.
No, it was a barbecue potato. It was like a baked potato, and they put, like, barbecue beef on top of it. It's delicious.
What?
Yeah, like,
you ever go
wonderful.
To Dallas? It's, like, the best thing ever.
It's the most fattening but most wonderfully worth the thing ever eat. But
describe
you are
it to them.
To that. You are, it's
yeah,
a, it's
like
huge,
it's a one-meal deal.
It's like a potato that has had, it must have been injected with steroids because I don't know any other potatoes that get that big. And they bake it and they slice it open. It has in it butter, sour cream, cheese, chives, and a big old wad of like barbecue brisket like right over the top. It's awesome.
That sounds like a heart attack in tinfoil.
It is.
Pretty much.
All the time. Things eat them all the time, man. Like, yeah. It's good stuff, though. You got to try it. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, honey, you know I'm a big girl. I try it, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd love it. You'd love
it. You would love it.
I mean, it's like what she said. It's exactly what she said. It's like a one-meal deal. It's like you and, like, me and Toya, we could all share one.
Yeah, but
you can
I wouldn't share
one. Like, it's enough.
I
don't
yeah,
like potatoes.
What?
I do not eat potatoes.
What?
You are blasphemous.
But see, that's
I can't even
I,
talk to you.
No, I don't eat potatoes. I don't eat potatoes. I don't eat tomatoes. I don't eat carrots.
Oh, God. Whatever.
I have, like, a list.
So much.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Okay,
and you
I'm allergic. Okay. Here's the thing, though. I'm allergic to carrots. Potatoes make me sick.
Allergic to carrots? How do
yes,
make
I'm
you
allergic
sick?
To carrots.
You have to be allergic to carrots. Carrots.
You had carrots
I'm allergic to carrots. I'm allergic to carrots. I cannot eat them without getting sick. Potatoes make me sick. It's something about I've never been a fan of potatoes. Ever since I was little, I would not eat mashed potatoes.
So you
I
make
will not
yourself
eat.
Sick is what it is. You make yourself regurgitate because you just don't like it.
No, it's just like it is not, potatoes are not appealing to me in any way, shape, or form. I did not bring out a high.
You eat potatoes. Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
So you make yourself sick. It's in your head.
No, it's just there is something about them.
Did you tell him to get high and he'll eat
them? That I do not like potatoes.
What did you say?
Did you tell me to get high and I'll eat them?
You get high, you'll eat anything.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I do not eat potatoes. I can't eat carrots because I'm legit allergic to carrots. There's something else.
Oh, Lord.
If you don't know, you ain't allergic.
I don't eat tomatoes.
James,
I don't like tomatoes.
James is like a hypochondriac in a young body.
No. No, because I, okay, seriously, I am allergic to,
okay.
to carrots.
Okay.
That is a fact.
No, okay.
That is a fact.
You know what? Next
I don't
time we
like
get together,
potatoes.
Karen.
I will admit that I don't like potatoes. I will also admit that I don't like tomatoes either. I used to love tomatoes when I was a kid, but I cannot eat them now.
Okay. You know why?
Jeffrey told me that he wants me to talk more, so that's what I'm doing. Okay.
This is the thing. This is why I get on to you, because only you go, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that. Like, you have an automatic list. We can talk about anything, and James will be like, I don't do this, and I don't do that.
Well, okay, I think that my list making, though, is me compensating for the fact that I am a people pleaser, and I will try to do anything I can for people, regardless
well,
of what it is.
Well, if you were a people pleaser, you would top and
don't
bottom.
Even go
I'm
there.
I'm just saying.
I have tried that recently, and I might actually be switching sides on that. My whole thing is that Jeffrey told
tell
me
us.
He wanted me to talk more. So I'm talking
Please.
More, and I'm getting made fun of for some of the things that I'm saying. And that's
yeah.
why I don't
wow.
talk very much.
Honey, you know, you're like the sidekick.
Oh,
like Howard Stern has one. Every good radio show has one. They always have, like, the sideshow Bob that we love and that they pick on. Like, it's out of love, baby. It's out of love. But I'm saying, like,
no, I'm not
next time I see
want,
you,
I'm going to
rub a carrot on your ass.
Oh, God. I just want James to, like, realize, like, you have all these lists. Like, when we talk about something, and you were like, I don't like to fly. I don't like to go in elevators. I don't like to go upstairs. I don't like to – I got afraid of heights. It's literally a list. I don't like – like, it's a list of every –
Okay.
List.
But here's the thing, though. But here's the thing. Okay. I think
yes.
I'm entitled to have that list because I have done everything – like, everything that's on these lists, I have done them. And I
you
realized
have?
Doing them that I don't like them. I have flown on a plane. I didn't like it. I will do it again
okay.
only because I rode the bus and I didn't like the bus because it took for fucking ever. Elevators,
okay.
I'm getting over that fear because I take the elevator
you
at
are.
Work
I'm
every
proud of
day.
You. I'm proud of you.
And everything else, like, I'm not saying that I don't like stuff because I you know, it doesn't sound appealing to me. I say that I don't like things because I've tried them before and I don't like them. Like, I'm not just giving you random things that, oh, I don't like elevators. Oh, I don't like flying. Oh, I don't like this.
I know, but it's
that.
Like a deep-seated fear. Like, it's almost one of those things where it's like, how do I explain this? It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, you need to figure out what it is deep down inside that triggers all this. Because I really think,
mm-hmm.
it's something more emotional, you know, or something more psychological. Because
well,
most people aren't going to be, like, deathly afraid of a lot of things.
You mm-hmm. just need some Xanax. I'm telling you, I took that shit and it changed my life.
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Well, hopefully,
well, I don't believe in that, though. I think you could probably, like, I think it's something more emotional with you. Because you are able to, like, you know, like you said, you're able to get on an elevator now and you're able to, you know, you're working through that. But
mm-hmm.
I do think it's something like, I don't know, I think it goes back to something in your childhood or something, and it's something more emotional and something more deeper. And, like,
it's
even
control.
If you're right on the elevator.
Would you like a breakthrough? Would you like a breakthrough? I will give you a breakthrough because I kind of know what it is.
You kind of know what
okay.
it is? Okay, yeah. Let's
I know what it is.
Maybe if you talk about it, you take away its power.
A lot of it has to do with the fact when I was growing up, like, you know, doing a lot of the things that I'm afraid of, flying
mm-hmm.
for the first time, going somewhere, that was taking me somewhere new I'd never been before. That was taking me out
mm-hmm.
of my element and taking me away from my comfort zone.
Right.
I've never been outside
right.
of the state of Missouri.
Well,
I've never been gone longer. I've never been gone longer than 24 hours, and I've never spent more than 24 hours away from my mom.
Right.
What the? You're sheltered. That's the problem. You're sheltered.
Right.
Okay.
What about that?
Elevators.
Yeah, no, totally right
I've been stuck in elevators. I was stuck in elevators before. My cousins and my sister used to torment
mm-hmm.
me when I would ride
oh,
in God. Elevators with them. they would freak me out, like, to the point where I would be on an elevator
falling.
That
makes sense, though.
But now, see, it would make more sense if you were going to say your cousin and your sister died in the elevator.
No,
but
they used to torment the shit out of me.
If you're like a little kid, I can see how something like that could really scare you.
Oh, yeah,
if you're a little
absolutely.
Kid, like,
okay.
I think that's mean. They shouldn't have done that to you.
Okay.
And, but that makes sense, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
you
I did
have,
not
you
like...
You have like a claustrophobia thing, right? Like you're, that,
right.
But it's part of that. It comes
and
from
my claustrophobia? But my claustrophobia also comes from when I was a kid. I used to, okay,
mm-hmm.
I used to love, like, okay, I used to love automatic car washes. I thought they were awesome. Until
uh-huh.
we got in, until we were in one, and the doors closed on it, and we were kind of locked in it. And my sister
okay.
and my cousin again.
Damn them girls! Damn them girls!
No, my sister and my cousin.
Not,
my cousin was male. My cousin was male.
Oh,
they tormented
to,
the shit out of me when I was a kid. Okay.
I'm not.
We're in my sister's car, and we
mm-hmm.
were going through a car wash so she could wash her car. And the doors closed, and they freaked me out, telling me that, oh, we're going to be locked in here, and the water is going to keep running, and we're going to get flooded, and we're all going to die. And so I did not like automatic car washes after that again.
Right.
Like,
but
they
how you
used to torment
you know
the shit out of me. And I hear someone
happen.
Laughing. And I hear someone laughing. And that used
it
to torment. That used to scare me, though. Okay, so, like,
But
how old were you? Were you, like, 5 or were you, like, 12?
I was like 5.
I know, but you know what? Jeff was about to have a really good point. The point is now you're older, and the point
mm-hmm.
is now you know that's not going to happen. Now you know,
right.
like, and so a lot of the fears that you're having, you know, you got to kind of make that choice in your mind and go, you know what? I'm not 5 anymore. I know better, and yeah, I do get this like weird, like my stomach kind of sinks or I get nervous. But, you know, really, what am I really nervous about? You know, these days, most
right.
elevators have telephones in them. They've got, like, I got a cell phone in my pocket. I can call somebody. I could call 911.
Now,
I mean, it's like a lot of things that it's really going to be hard for you to get, like, stuck in something and be stuck in
I can say I would agree with him. Like, if we were in a tall, tall building, like, we're talking, like, 90 floors or something, like, I probably
mm-hmm.
wouldn't do it,
it
either.
Freaks,
but I'm
no,
not,
it freaks
I'm
you
not
out.
Going
it
up the,
me out.
I'm not going up the stairs either, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, I'm not going to do that. I don't, no.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't really, no. So, I mean, I get that, but, like, when we're talking, like, 16, 20, like, I'm okay. But we're talking, like, we're getting into skyscraper-type shit. Like, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like, that big-ass thing in Canada. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where it's, like, got the glass and you can overlook the falls and go up to the restaurant.
Mm.
Like, that's just something that I'm going to do in life. Like, it's just,
right.
and the restaurant
right.
spins. Like, I'm good.
Right, right, right. But I think a lot of it, if you really sat there and really worked your emotions, you'd realize. Because, like, a friend of mine was saying, like, when they were little, their father, one day they were like, you know, they kind of were like excited because they could play an instrument really well. And
mm-hmm.
they were really good. And it was almost like they were like, what is a kid called when they can do things and really for age, you should be able to do that. A prodigy.
Prodigy.
Yes. But they were very like, almost like, you know, they didn't know how to handle that. They didn't know how to handle the attention they got from being a prodigy. They didn't know how to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of were kind of stuck on themselves. They were kind of stuck up. And one day they were like thinking they were big and bad, and their father kind of put them in their place and said, you know what, there's always someone who's better than you. But the dad did it just to kind of say, stop being so boastful. And always know that
right.
yeah, you're good, but you're being a little too boastful, and you should always feel like, you know, somebody could be better than me. And so, you know, he was trying to just teach him a life lesson, but this person
right.
held it to their heart. And even today, like, they kind of will never give themselves a compliment. Like, you can go, oh my gosh, you're so amazing, you're so good. They'll go, oh, thank you, but, or they'll do something where they don't really. They never give themselves credit. And I told that person, I was like, why do you always kick yourself? Why do you always put yourself down? You're an amazing person. Why wouldn't you give yourself credit? And so they told me this story. And I said, okay, well, you were 5 years old. You didn't know what to do with your talent. And, yeah, you probably were a little asshole. But today, you know better. Like, you know not to be a,
right.
Like, you know not to brag. You know not to, you got to be more humble. You know better. So why would you not give yourself credit? And that person
right.
called me later that day and was like, literally, like, hours later, and was like, I really want to thank you. And I was like, why? And they were like, because you said something to me that made perfect sense. Like, you're right. I've stunted myself. Like, I've kind of, every time somebody would say something nice about me, I wouldn't take it because I felt like that was buying into me being boastful. And it's like, no, I'm not. It's like, I am talented and I should be proud of it. I should be proud that I've accomplished this and I've worked really hard for my talent. But, I mean,
right.
I get where I got to kind of control that. So it's like almost like you kind of got to, like the things that stopped you, you kind of got to just reanalyze them and go, yeah, that was complete and utter fear. But I know better now. They were
mm-hmm.
probably teenage kids that, like every other teenager, tormented their younger brother and sister. And they were wrong
yeah.
for doing that. But
oh, yeah.
you got to make the choice to not carry that scar. Because now it doesn't make any sense. You're not 5 years old. They can't pull the wool over your eyes.
Right.
Confession session, I'm telling you, every time, and Toy Thing, that's the music we've been looking for. Toy, I need you to pre-record that, and we're going to play that next time.
It's like living a Brewster's Place up in here.
Oh, yeah, serious.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but
I think James is
amazing. And so I don't want you to stop yourself from things because of this little voice in your head or this little tinge of fear. Like, we all got that fear. But it's
mm-hmm.
like, you got to just, like, let it go.
Let it go.
Just roll a blunt and go.
Oh.
Roll a blunt and
Jeffrey
go.
Emmett,
you'll be fine.
Jeffrey Emmett's... his advice is not a reflection of Mr.
No, I am not.
It's only his.
We do not endorse this.
Unless you live in a state where marijuana is legal, we do not.
If you're in a blunt-friendly kind of state, then what you need to do
is
go down to your shop and give it a donation and just smoke your ass happy.
Smoke your
ass. I'm telling you. No, James.
Don't listen to anything he says.
Go to your doctor and really, go to your doctor and be like, I'm crazy. I've got a problem. Everything scares me. I'm tense. My stomach hurts. I can't fly. I get nervous if I poop in the bathroom with the window facing south. You know, I mean, just tell them all of it and really push. Tell them you need some Xanax and see if it changes your life. Because I'm telling you, I took it once.
And I'm telling you this, if I ever went into my doctor's office, sat down in front of my doctor, and told him that I'm afraid to use a bathroom with a window that faces south, I would get locked up so quick.
What?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, you won't. It was not one of those. It was
not
one of them TLC, HPC, whatever. One of them stations with the little people. It's got one of them shows where people like crazy and shit. And the one girl, she couldn't poop in the bathroom if the window faces south.
That's
like,
a hard pill to swallow.
You know what this is, though?
If I gotta
when
poop, I gotta poop.
When you just watch something and you just sit there and stare at it like yours the stupid one, like, what?
It makes you think. It makes you think. Are you... They're afraid to shit in a bathroom with a window that's facing south, and I'm afraid to ride in an elevator. What?
Now, look, don't quote me. It could have been west, but I'm saying it was one of the directors. I do know that. But
and they are on a freaking reality show. And they're on a reality show. Okay.
We could probably make some money off of you, James. Have you
seen...
Oh,
God.
I'm just joking.
I should do a case study. Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks. I should be your fucking case study.
And another thing I find, James, that helps these days is Legos. Get you some Legos and build you some Legos. I had the crazy cat lady come over last weekend, and she brought over a Batmobile, a substation, a submarine, some, like, Star Wars ships, all kinds of craziness. And I've been putting Legos together for days. And it's real therapeutic, you know. Until a piece gets stuck, or you put it on wrong, and you got to start bashing shit.
Well, let's see. I only have, you know, 4 hours a night when I get off work after I finally make it home to relax, and I'm usually sitting in front of a computer for that 4 hours. So.
Well, welcome to my world. I think I get two.
So that brings up another good point. So when you go to the doctor and tell him you've got the problem pooping with the window facing south, you need to tell him about your porn addiction as well.
I don't have a porn addiction, although you do not want to look in my history.
I see. That's a porn
addiction. That is a joke. That is a joke. That is a total joke.
That sounds like my day.
That is a joke.
I don't know where this show is going right now.
This usually happens when we only have like a few minutes left. This stuff usually happens.
You know what happens? James has a confession session, and then we start fixing James.
This is my 2 cents, and I'm going to try to summarize this in 2 minutes. Now,
yes,
I went to this leadership workshop recently, and of all the
more educated, by the way.
The only thing I really learned. So, there's what happens in our lives. Don't interrupt me. I ain't got but a few minutes. There's what happens, and then there's what the story we tell about what happened. So a lot of times if you just look at what happened, like whatever that thing is, 90% of what you feel is the story you created about it. For example, if someone, you know, I felt like if my dad left my mom when I was a kid, well, he just left her. That's all I know. I'm 8. I don't know anything about relationships, but I know he left her, right? So what I told myself is men can't be trusted. Men will leave. Men are jerks. Men leave their daughters, whatever. But what really happened is he just left. I decided those other things about what that meant. And I realized when I learned that, God, how many stories have I created about situations that had nothing to really do with the situation. What happened is what happened. The story I told is my own. You got to squash the story if you want to get better.
I think that's one of the most genius things I think I've ever heard, Toya. That is amazing.
They drew two circles on the board. They drew two circles on the board, and they had them intersect each other. And on one side, one circle it said, here's what happened. The second was the story. And the story was always like 20 lines, and what happened was one line. So it's like, I did this, not that person. He just did this one thing. I don't know why he did it. I'll never know. I'm not in his head. Who the hell cares? My reaction and who I've become over these years is because I told this story about what he did. I did that.
Wow. That's deep.
Take your power back.
I learned something from that. Wow.
Back.
Thank you for that, Toya. I'm going to use that because that's true. I've been a victim of creating this story. Like, I've done that.
Yes,
wow.
We all do it.
Yep.
The key is to realize when you're doing it, you can throw that crap in the garbage can.
She does have a degree.
I learned it a few months ago, and I was like, oh, my God. If my friends learned this, they stop going to therapy.
We got a new segment. No. The hell with her getting a new show. She got to have a segment on here where she's going to come on and give us her infinite wisdom. Because it's genius.
But you know
it's
what?
Genius.
I don't want those liberal educated views in my life.
Oh, this boy.
I am from America, and I don't want those. I'm kidding.
Unless you can shovel some hay, Toya. He ain't trying to hear what you say.
I'm done. I tried.
No, you know what? There was a caller who called in, and he bashed us. Like, he called in and was like, you liberals, you educated liberals, you're telling the world they can't have no guns, and I don't believe in gun control. And I don't even think we were talking about guns. What we were talking about was that kid with the fake gun. The 11-year-old. He had a fake gun and got murdered. Like, well, he got shot by the police. And they were saying, you know, we had a whole debate because it was like we didn't completely agree with each other. I felt he was wrongfully killed. We all felt he was wrongfully killed. But, you know, we were kind of like, Jeff was like, what is he doing? He's 12 or 16 or whatever he was. He shouldn't be walking around with an AK-47. And then I was like, well, the cops shouldn't just be shooting people. And so this whole big debate, right? We were just like going all around and everywhere. You know how we do. This guy just calls in and like starts bashing us and saying that we're highly educated liberals and we're spreading all this liberal. And I'm
with
like,
our fancy
I didn't even go to college. I didn't even go to college.
He said we talked real fancy.
Uh-huh. And I think it was just me, Mike, and Jeff. And, like, me and Jeff were like, we didn't go to college.
Yeah.
Mike was the only educated one. Like, it was really crazy. So that's the joke. Mm. We were like,
I didn't know.
Liberal.
I thought he was just like, you know what? I don't like
that. That's even better. I should have even told her. That's even better.
I know. That makes it even more funny.
Damn it.
Oh,
she
was like, I tried, but this fool is too far gone. There is something in the water in Missouri.
Right. Love yourself. That's all. The moral of this show is love yourself. Change your story. We all need to do that.
That's right. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Hey.
Good night.
Oh, gosh. Good night, everybody.